Please turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 15. This evening I want to preach upon the subject God's salvation in the days of Moses. Very simply tonight I want to take a phrase from Exodus chapter 15 verse 2 and preach upon it. And the phrase is, "The Lord is my salvation." Look at Exodus 15 and verse 2. It says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God." The Lord is my salvation. Amen. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to preach God's word this evening. Father in heaven, we do thank thee and praise thee for our sister Gwen's testimony. We thank thee for the day when you saved her. And we thank thee, Lord, for how you brought Gwen and George together and then called them into the work of God, and how they have served thee for many years. And oh God, we do pray as Gwen would continue to serve thee, and Betty, Lord, and Wendy and Richard and their family out in Thailand, that they might know the help of the Lord and the blessing of God, and that they might see many precious souls won for Christ. We pray tonight, Lord, that you would come and bless this meeting as it comes to a close. We think of those in the meeting here tonight who are not saved. O God, we pray that you would speak to their hearts and draw them to Christ this evening. We thank thee, Lord, that you're still able to save to the uttermost all that come to thee through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I pray tonight that you would fill me with thy gracious Holy Spirit. And O God, help me only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The Lord is my salvation. As we found out this morning, these words were sung by Moses and the children of Israel after God delivered the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage and destroyed Pharaoh and his army. Therefore, the words of our text are part of the song of victory that Israel sung after God brought the children of Israel safely across the Red Sea. These words, "The Lord is my salvation," I believe sum up for us what God had accomplished for his people, the children of Israel, in the days of Moses, when God set them free from the great burden that they were under in the land of Egypt. However, not only do these words express to us what the Lord meant and did for Moses and the nation of Israel in Exodus 15, but they also express to us what the Lord has done and what the Lord means to all of his people down through the centuries. In every generation, all of God's people, right to this present day, have declared their praise to God by saying and singing, "The Lord is my salvation." For example, in Psalm 27, verse 1, David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." In Isaiah 12, verse 2, the prophet Isaiah declared, "Behold, God is my salvation." And what a wonderful truth we have here that is established not only in Exodus chapter 15, but throughout the Word of God. In Acts 28, verse 28, Paul spoke about the salvation of God that was sent to the Gentiles. And in Titus 2, verse 11, Paul spoke about the grace of God that brought salvation. Therefore, what we learn in Exodus 15 about the salvation of the Lord is true about God's salvation in every age, in every generation. And although people's circumstances may change and may be different, how God saves and why God saves always remains the same. Therefore, as we come to consider our text tonight on this subject, I want you to notice very simply a number of things here about God's salvation. And I pray that if you're not saved in the meeting, that God will take his word and write his word upon your heart and upon your soul. You see, your greatest need tonight is to experience God's wonderful salvation and God's wonderful redemption. And I pray as we consider this text and this subject this evening that The Lord, even tonight, will draw you to Himself and save your precious, precious, never dying soul. What do we learn here about the salvation of the Lord? Well, first of all, we learn that God's salvation is complete. When God delivered Moses and the children of Israel at the Red Sea, we can see the completeness of that salvation. Israel's enemy was totally destroyed. Pharaoh and his armies were never again to be a threat to the people of God. God had completely destroyed them in the Red Sea. Isn't that what we learn here? Look at chapter 14 and verse 30 of Exodus. Thus the Lord saved Israel. Notice the word, saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And look at Exodus chapter 15 now, in verses 4 and 5. It says, Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts had he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also were drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Men and women, God's salvation is a complete salvation. When God saves the sinner from the depths of his sin, that sinner is forever delivered from hell and from judgment to come. No longer is eternal damnation a threat to the sinner's soul. Once a man receives God's salvation in Christ, he is saved eternally. He is saved everlastingly. In Colossians 2 verse 10, and you should underline the text in your Bible because it is a tremendous text. The Apostle Paul says this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And of course, Paul was writing to God's people, those who had been saved. He says this, and ye are complete in Christ. The word complete there means to fill up or to fill full. In other words, when something is complete in this sense, nothing else can be added to it. That's what the word means. It is like a cup that is full of water to overflowing. No more water can be put into the cup. It is completely and absolutely filled. You see, when God saves a man from his sin, that man receives God's salvation in Christ. And he is completely saved. He is forever saved. There is nothing more he has to add to that salvation. It is complete forever. This is the type of salvation that the Bible speaks about. This is the kind of salvation you can have this evening, my friend, if you're found in this meeting without Christ and without God and without hope. In Romans chapter 8 verse 1, Paul said this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, thank God this evening, if you're found in this meeting unsaved, you can receive a salvation that is complete. There's nothing that I have to add to my salvation to make it any better. I cannot be any more saved than I am now. Now, it's true that someday I'm going to go home to heaven. Someday I'm going to see the Lord face to face. And what a day, what a glorious day that's going to be. But as far as my soul's salvation is concerned, it is saved completely and eternally. The work that Christ has accomplished for me upon the cross, praise God, it was a finished work. It was a completed work. My friend, if you trust Christ tonight and receive Him as your own and personal Savior, you too can have this so great salvation. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul called salvation a so great salvation? There's nothing greater than that you can receive tonight than God's wonderful redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice something else here. Look again at Exodus 15. You'll see that God's salvation is not only complete, but God's salvation is by grace. The salvation of God is always by grace. In Exodus 15 verse 13, we read these words, underline the words, thy mercy hath led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thy mercy. just before God opened up the Red Sea so that the children of Israel could pass safely through, they were murmuring and complaining, and they were slow to believe God. However, God still delivered them. God saved Israel in Exodus 15 by his mercy and grace. He did not save them because they deserved or merited his salvation. It was by his matchless grace he delivered them from their bondage and from their enemies. Men and women, the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ is all of grace. The salvation that is offered to sinners in the Bible is all of grace. That's why the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The word grace means favor. It is often described as the undeserved favor of God. But it means more than this. The grace of God means the undeserved favor of God bestowed upon those who are positively deserving of the wrath of God. You and I deserve nothing but the wrath and judgment of God because of our sin. We deserve to be cast into the lowest hell because of our iniquity. But God, in his mercy and grace, has pardoned his people. And he has provided salvation for the whosoever will. And thank God this evening, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment to Jesus at cleansing will receive. You and I, we do not deserve God's salvation, and we do not deserve God's love, and we do not deserve God's mercy. But thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And salvation tonight can be obtained by you because of the grace of God. God's salvation is the free gift of God to all who will receive Christ as their own and personal Savior. Romans 3 verse 24 says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Acts 15 verse 11 says, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved." Titus 3 verse 7 says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And in Titus 2 verse 11 it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Isn't this a wonderful message that we have this evening? My friend, you can be saved tonight because of the grace of God. You can be forgiven tonight because of the grace of God. You can begin your journey to heaven this evening because of the grace of God. But notice something else in Exodus 15. Notice thirdly that God's salvation is through faith. This morning we emphasized this truth. But let me draw your attention to it again this evening in the context of our message tonight. All who ever receive God's salvation, and all who will ever receive God's salvation, will receive it by faith. Moses and the children of Israel had their faith in the God of heaven. It was a personal faith in the Lord their God. Now, we emphasized this morning, but look at verse 2 again. For those of you who weren't with us this morning, we read these words, "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation." Notice how personal it is. He is my God. Moses and the children of Israel had their faith in the God of heaven. It was a personal faith in the Lord. Let me ask you a question tonight at the close of this gospel service. Have you ever received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? What is faith? Faith is forsaking all and trusting Christ alone for salvation. Faith is believing God's word and trusting in the promises of God. Keep your hand in Exodus chapter 15 and turn over to John's Gospel chapter 5. And you will see here that in order to be saved, the sinner must put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They must put their faith in God's only begotten Son and trust Him alone as their Redeemer. John 5 and verse 24, this is what Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Take a look at chapter 11 of John's Gospel. And you will see this again in verse 25. You read these tremendous words. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." My friend, have your personal faith in Jesus Christ tonight? Are you trusting Him alone as your own and personal Redeemer? Look at chapter 12 of John's Gospel. And look with me at verse 46. And you read these words. Jesus said again, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Take a look at chapter 20. And again the same truth is emphasized. John chapter 20. And the verse 31. And you read these words. "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ," or that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, "and that believing ye might have life through his name." Do you want to have life tonight? Eternal life? Do you want to enter heaven when you die? Do you want to escape hell when you die? Do you want your sins forgiven? Then come this evening and put your faith in God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the only Savior. But thank God, He is a sufficient Savior. And all who come to Him by faith and trust Him by faith, praise God, they can have their sins forgiven and know everlasting life. Of course, true saving faith is never alone. What I mean by that is this. It is always accompanied by repentance and produces good works. Now, we don't do good works in order to be saved. And you would know that coming to this church. Good works will never save any man from hell. Good works will never bring any man to heaven. But once a sinner is saved by God's grace, exercising faith in Jesus Christ, then good works will follow. Repentance means turning away from sin. We hear very little today about evangelical repentance, true repentance. But my friend, if you want to be saved, if you want to know anything about God's salvation, then you must repent of your sin. In James chapter 2 and verse 17, again it's a familiar portion of Scripture, we read these words, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works with faith made perfect? Was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Good works will follow salvation. Good works is an evidence that there's a work of grace done in the heart. My friend, has your life been changed since you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Since you repented of your sins? The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new." This is the salvation that we find in the Bible. This is God's salvation. And what a wonderful salvation and what a wonderful redemption it is. But notice something else. Turn back again to Exodus 15. And you'll notice, fourthly, that God's salvation is given to sinners only on the basis of the blood of the Lamb. We have considered the importance of the blood of the Lamb in a previous study. But let me emphasize it again tonight. Take a look with me there at verse 13 again of Exodus 15. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Underline the word redeemed. Look at verse 16 now. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, tell the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Purchased. Salvation can only be gained through redemption. Redemption involves a price being paid. Not by the recipient, but by a substitute. In other words, in order for you to be saved from your sin, someone else had to die in your place in order to pay the price for your salvation. Israel was saved because of the blood of the Lamb. We have studied Exodus chapter 12 already in these studies. We have seen the importance of the blood of the Lamb. And here again, in this song of victory, the children of Israel and Moses, they make mention of the importance of being redeemed, being purchased by the blood of the Lamb. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ died and shed his precious blood for our sins. Thus Christ became the sinner's substitute. The Bible tells us that Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. The price that was paid by Christ upon the cross for our sins was a price far more than we could pay. The truth is, we could not and cannot pay for our salvation. Nothing that man can do can obtain God's salvation. Only Christ could pay the price for our redemption. And he paid that price when he shed his precious blood upon the cross of Calvary. We're bought with a price is not what the Bible tells us. Oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Bible tells us that we are redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, do you know anything of this salvation that we're talking about? Do you know anything of this salvation of which the Bible speaks about? It's complete. When God saves you, you're saved forever. That's what the Bible says. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand. This salvation is by grace. We don't deserve it. We don't merit it. We deserve to be lost forever, but by his grace he saves. This salvation is through faith, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And this salvation can only be obtained because of the substitutionary work of another. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus was that substitute. He died in the sinner's place. And praise God because of the wonderful redemption that he has obtained. Thank God you and I can receive everlasting life this evening. Oh, come with me. Visit Calvary where my Redeemer died. His blood it fills the fountain. 'Tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. Is there someone here this evening and you're far away from God? Oh, you come to church and you come faithfully and you listen to the sermons and you sing the hymns and you bow your head at the time of prayer, but you're only giving lip service because you know nothing of this wonderful redemption that's found in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. My friend, if that is the case, come and trust him tonight. Turn from your sin. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Don't leave God's house tonight the way you came in. Leave God's house tonight a child of God. Make sure that you're on your way to heaven. Make sure that your sins, which are many, are forgiven. Make sure tonight, before you close your eyes and sleep, that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and that you can say, like the children of Israel, "The Lord is my strength, the Lord is my song, the Lord is my salvation, the Lord is my God." See how personal it is. See how personal it is. Young person, your parents cannot get saved for you. Older person, your children cannot get saved for you. You must come and trust this Savior personally. And you must come now. You see, there's an urgency about this salvation. Salvation was urgent. And of course, we can see that not only in this chapter, but in the chapters that we have read and the chapters that we have studied. As far as the people of Egypt were concerned, they missed their opportunity. And they didn't listen to Moses. And they wouldn't listen to Moses. And certainly Pharaoh missed his opportunity because he would not let the people go. And he hardened his heart. And finally God hardened his heart. Oh, my friend, what if God was to harden your heart tonight? The Bible says, indeed the Lord says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And that's why the Bible emphasizes to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. It's imperative that this evening, if the Lord is speaking to your soul, that you come and trust Christ as your Savior. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Would you come tonight? Would you throw down your puny arms of rebellion? Oh, this wonderful salvation. God is offering it to you this evening. The invitation is for you tonight. Because Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's rest for your soul tonight. There's peace for your soul tonight. There's salvation for your soul tonight. But it's only found in God through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to God, and that's through his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus said himself when he walked upon this earth, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And this is the salvation that Moses and the children of Israel had. And this is the salvation that God offers to you today. This hour, would you not receive it? The Bible says, "For as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Is it any wonder that Moses and the children of Israel sang this song of victory? Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. God had given to them a complete salvation. God had given to them a salvation by grace through faith. God had given to them a salvation that was bought at the price of the blood of the Lamb. God had given to them eternal life, eternal redemption. And God can give that to you this evening if you come and trust him. Let us all pray.